lap. He said, "Mommy?" And he had a real serious look on his face, and he said, "Where did Daddy come from?" "Well, he was born in Michigan." "Well, then where were you born?" "I was born in Iowa." His mama smiled fondly. "And where was I born?" "Minnesota." And he got a big smile on his face and says, "Isn't it wonderful how we all got together?" You heard about the fellow who married his wife because he wanted someone to cook and clean his house? The problem was, so did she. Back to the Bible, Dr. Richard DeHaan, father, used to say the nearest thing to heaven on earth is a happy Christian home. Home is the mother's glory, the children's paradise, and the father's kingdom. Home is a place where the world of strife is shut out and an ocean of life is shut in. I was reading this and I thought, this is so good. Imagine renting a rustic wooden cabin in a beautiful forest setting for a honeymoon. The place is delightful. At dawn, however, a woodpecker starts his loud rat-a-tat-tat pounding on the wood roof. The noise was so loud they couldn't sleep. It happened at dawn, the next morning, again the third morning, and so forth. What should they do? Many people say, "Shoot the bird!" Some say, "Who cares? It's your honeymoon." This incident with a woodpecker happened to be Gracie and Walter Lantz on their honeymoon. They were inspired to create the cartoon character Woody the Woodpecker. Walter was the illustrator, Gracie was the voice, and many years later, when interviewed on their 50th anniversary, Gracie said, "It was the best thing that ever happened to us." First of all, the husband-wife relationship is the highest and most important and most enduring relations, all human ties. There should be nothing greater, no sweeter fellowship, no precious time with anybody else, except with enduring relationship of the human ties of marriage. In marriage, a man and a woman become one flesh. They are bonded together in a union. They embrace the whole personality. When a couple is married, God joins them. Therefore, if God joins them, no man has a right to dissolve them. They are a unique combination of person. Marriage is for life. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19, 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Might be a good idea for some governmental people to read that. "And he said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." I heard a preacher preach on the story of Job. And he said the reason that God did not kill Job's wife when she said, "Curse God and die," was because she was half Job. Some of you ought to be thankful for that. And some of you guys ought to be thankful that your wife's living for God too. God intended that marriage would be a lifelong relationship. God intended for marriage to have a spiritual unity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Some of you people are looking for that, quote-unquote, that soulmate, or you're looking out for that one who you live in harmony forever. Let me tell you better be looking at the right places for the right thing, or you may get something you don't want and can't get rid of. It's nice to want something you can't have than to have something you can't get rid of. But anyway, be not equally yoked. Be very careful who you choose, who you're running around with. Because I'll tell you what, 198 hours with an opposite sex, you can fall in love with that person. Marriage is to have a biblical pattern. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Wow. That's powerful. Are you looking in your Bible? Look at what it says. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. I get a little frustrated when I deal with some people and the wife is so kind to me and so mean to her husband. Are you so kind to someone like another lady in the church? And she tells you to do something, you submit to her. And you won't even do it to your husband. You are absolutely off the road and in the ditch. For the husband is the head of the wife, he is Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I told Dr. Chappell, I'm only doing what a husband is supposed to do. He said, I know there's so many that don't. He said, we just want to honor somebody that does. Pretty bad to be honored to doing something you're supposed to do, eh, man? Marriage is the most important institution in our society. It is vital ensuing social stability. Truly, it is the most important social safety net in our country, and that's why our country is in such trouble today. A man and a woman who are married act together as a team. They share the moral and the financial responsibility of raising a child. The government is not responsible to raise your kid. You are. Nor is it responsible to feed your kid. You are. Get out and get a job. Find one. Work hard. Pray. Beg God. Scramble. Dig. Do everything you can. You say, well, they don't pay enough. Well, you get two or three jobs, they'll pay enough. I don't know what it is. I came to this city 30 years ago, and I was promised a job. When I came back here, the EMS job on the helicopter was not available anymore. And I started looking, and it took us 2 months to find a job. I got you, understand. We finally got a job, go Barron Arms Condominium, 32 units. When I said that, I can see Chad's face just cringe and think of all the lawn mowing he had to do and all the snow shoveling he had to do. And especially snow shoveling, because I go to past school, and of course they always had the bad storm then. Hard work is a good word. God said you're supposed to live by the sweat of your brow. There are jobs out there. You just got to do it. And you got to sell yourself. I can do this. I'll be there. I'll be there on time. You won't have to worry about me stealing anything. I'm a Christian. Only thing you'll have to worry about, I won't work for you on Wednesday night, and I won't work for you on Sunday. Amen. Now, some of you guys in the military have to work on Sunday. Some people don't. I remember Marcia working up at Shields, and she'd invite people to come up and get a job there. And she'd tell them they will not work Wednesday night and tell them you won't work Sunday. And invariably, they wouldn't even tell them that. And then they wouldn't show up in church anymore. You say, well, sometimes you got to give and take. There's certain things ain't for sale. A man and a woman have the responsibility as a team. Hear this? Team. When your kids are tearing the place up, it's a team working together. Come home, help. Come home, help her. I'm going to pull over and park a minute. I'm just going to talk to you like a dad, all right? It was part you that made that kid, guy.
I heard a guy tell me the other day at the sheriff's office he never cleaned a dirty diaper of his two boys. I got in righteous indignant with him. He's bragging about it. I said, buddy, I'm going to tell you what happened to my house. When my wife and I first got married, I told her, honey, you give me boys and I'll take care of them. You give me girls and you'll take care of them. The way it is. Guess what she gave me? Three boys. Brother, out of the chute, I was changing diapers. Back in those days, not only did you change diapers, there were cloth, and you had to go what they called honey dipping. Thank God for disposable diapers. I don't care if they cost more than a gallon of gas. I will buy disposable diapers. There is nothing in the morning at 2 o'clock in the morning lifting up that lid of that diaper pail and smelling that ammonia, Clorox, stinky residue. It'll wake you up. I'll be doggone, my little boy's going to have a dirty diaper. I heard one of the guys say, yeah, I took my kid in the bathtub and washed him down. I took a hose and hosed him down. Well, that's how you're supposed to do it, man. Do it yourself. He wrapped him in newspapers and waited his mama get home. Are you out of your stinking mind? He had family circle right there on that little boy. But never mind. Family circus. Let me tell you something. You're responsible for your children. Amen. You be a man and you take care of your kids. Amen. When you're out to eat, you help mama. And you make sure you tip real good for that poor waitress who's going to clean up all that junk underneath the table for you. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. About time some of us understand that this is a give-take team operation, that you're going to try everything you can to raise that little rascal to serve God. And they got to know that you love mama, and they got to know that you love daddy, and you shouldn't say nothing to hurt their opinion over their daddy or their mama. Y'all understand that?
Yep.
All right. Consistency. Show that consistently, surveys show that children from homes with intact marriages, listen to me now, particularly those who emphasize religion, do better in life and in their families and better prepared to weather rough times. You're raising a kid. You're saying, hey, let's go to God. I preached this morning about prayer. Your kids know where your place of prayer is. They ought to know. Many of our society seriously misunderstands what God intended for the home. By the way, God gave us a real good instruction manual right here. It's called the Bible. But you got to read it. For instance, the instruction manual says, theft destroys the basics of trust needed in society. Thievery destroys. It destroys the trust in a civil society. Adultery destroys family and casts chaos into the future generation. These are words of wisdom from the manufacturer who gave us the instruction manual. God intended marriage to consist of three elements that are vital to marriage. Number one, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It contained three elements necessary in the biblical marriage. Number one, leaving. Leaving. Number two, cleaving. And number three, fusion, one flesh. It is so important that you leave and you cleave. You are now one. Not what daddy said, not what mama says anymore, but you're your own nucleus now. Just like when Fairview Baptist Church encouraged us to start this church, we no more are to cleave and no more to stay. We are one flesh in Heritage Baptist Church. We're a church ourselves. And God set that up for our home. Our home is a... Hey, listen, you have your mama live with you for a while, she'll drive you crazy. I don't care how good a mama she got. She'll drive you nuts. Why? Because it's two, not three. She'll stick her long nose into everything. And she'll cause you more trouble than you know what to do with. So your dad. Leave. Make sure your marriage works. Cleave unto her. It's the best thing ever happened to you. You got married. Best thing ever happened to you, got married. Best thing ever happened to me, got married. And you're one flesh. That means you ought to start thinking alike. Hopefully, you think the right stuff. Amen. Unless these things take place, there is no true marriage between two people involved. Consequently, two people who engage in premarital sex acts are not married. Even though physically they were one flesh, there's no leaving and there's no cleaving. They did, and what they did, they became guilty of what the Bible calls fornication, a sexual union between two unmarried persons. Wrong. Well, Pastor, you know, no, it's wrong. It's against the Word of God. It's against the instruction manual. And you will for the rest of your life. That'll hang over you. I don't care what you say, it will. Unity of marriage of the flesh is deeper meaning, included much more than just physical union of the man and woman. The couple are to share the same thoughts, feelings, emotions, and desires. For this reason, that couple needs many common or complementary interests which enable them to grow together. It's kind of good to have a few interests together when you get married. You know, not just riding a motorcycle. Though that helps. Or, going to garage sales or something. That'll be a little bit more than that, amen. Interests, it's interesting to observe couples who have enjoyed a good marriage for 40, 50 years, and to see how that they become one in speech, in actions, and sometimes in looks. It should be humble a man to know that he is, listen to me, it should humble you as a man to know that you're incomplete without your woman. You're incomplete without her. But it is your glory to know that woman was created for you by God. I say this a lot to my wife. I say, how in the world did a little old Michigan farm boy find such a beautiful little Norwegian girl up in Minnesota? How did that ever happen? And she said, I don't know. And I said, God made it that way. Every perfect, everything fell into place. There is no way, no how, that I could have ever thought how to do that and get it done. I had other ideas. But God had that little Norwegian girl there in Calvary Baptist Church, Wells, Minnesota, pounding on the piano on Sunday morning. When I walked in, I said, I like that. But it took not going to Michigan State, not going to Central Michigan, not going to Delta College and playing football, not this or that. It meant that my mother went to a ladies' meeting. That's why I love ladies' meetings so well. Went to a ladies' meeting, heard a president of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College preach, and one little statement, he said, we have intercollegiate football. That was enough for Mama. She come running home. Son, I know where you're going to college. I said, where? She's going to Pillsbury Baptist. I thought, what am I going to be, a doughboy or something? But anyway. And I said, okay. I mean, come on now. Okay. I could have full right of football. I went to college and I had to pay my pay to get there. And when we went on trips, we got $2 to eat on. Something wrong with this. No, it wasn't. God had a perfect hand. I had a little girl. I thought she was nice, and she sang in the tour group for Pills, and I brought her home. My mama said she's not the one for you. Well, I was there. She's there about an hour and a half from my house. She's not the one for you, is she? Let me tell you something about my mama. My mama loved me, and when my mama said something like that, even E.F. Hutton stopped to listen, amen. And I thought, my mom sees something I don't see, but I know that she loves me, and she don't want me to have something that, because I had seen the relationship of my dad and my mom together, and that's what I wanted.
Amen.
Somehow, this little farm boy from Michigan came to Minnesota and found this little Norwegian Baptist preacher's daughter. And we became one flesh for 43 years now. I wouldn't have given you a plug nickel for all those other ones I dated. Likewise, it is humbling to a woman to know that she was created for the man. No, he wasn't created for you. You were created for him. Nah, 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 nah. But it is her glory to know that she alone can complete him. No other person, thing in this world can complete him like you can. So start doing your job, amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God, amen. God intended marriage to be according to the Scripture. According to the Scripture, that is what marriage is. Hebrews chapter 13, 4, you ought to put it down, brothers and sisters. Marriage is honorable to all and a bed undefiled, but a whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. That's what marriage is at. Genesis chapter 1:27, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him, male, female created he them. Male, female created he them. God intended mankind to understand that the wiles of the devil, when it comes to his assault on marriage, Satan seemed to unleash every weapon in the arsenal to destroy marriage. Some of the most popular darts of the devil are, number one, numerality. Since the 1960s, Americans' morals have been undergoing a widely publicized revolution. At first, it seemed a great deal of talking without action. However, today there is mounting evidence that a change has taken place in American society. Walker downloaded some I Love Lucy movies on my iPad here. And Marcia and I love it. But I was watching that the other day, and I noticed they're married. They really were married. But when they got in bed, guess what? Separate beds. I heard now that was a moral standard, and nobody on TV could get in the same bed, whether married or not. You can't even turn the stinking TV on today. The motto is, no rings, no strings. If you fall out of love, no one is hurt, and lovers can start over. How far from the truth. You'll always have marks. The Playboy philosophy. Centuries ago, philosophers taught that pleasure was the highest good to man. The philosophy of hedonism has never left the planet. They wrote that sexual pleasure is like any other pleasure and no different from the pleasures derived from eating a delicious steak. Tell that to your wife. Tell that to your husband. Or just something about a sexual sin. There's just something about it. That's why James wrote that if a man takes his neighbor's wife into his own bosom, you'll smell smoke. You'll be burned. You cannot get rid of that smell. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people out there who want to take advantage of you. You girls that are home and your husbands at work, gone for a week, maybe gone for 6 months. You better be very careful. You better be dressing up too. Quit showing it off. It's only for your husband. And I don't know how stupid you can get, but there's awful lot of stupid going on out there. Sexual indulgence is merely another form of recreation, these people say. Kind of philosophy teaches the woman exists mainly for giving man pleasure. And I'm telling you what, I got three sisters, and I'll be ready to knock a few people off if you do that to my little sister. Needless to say, this is complete denial of any Christian morality, and unfortunately, are many Christians today are falling to its prey. Situation ethics. The world says there are times when immorality is really moral, depending on the situation and the application in the law of love. Women's liberation movement. These radicals are calling for the abolition of the family, abortion on demand, and of course abortion, and they promote the change of biblical roles in marriage. No fault divorce. Nevada judge now dispenses divorce in groups of 20 at a time now. Couples in England separate for 2 years, all they have to do is send a postcard to their mate and say it's irreconcilable, a difference. Simply ask the dissolution of their marriage, no pressure. Send a postcard. I'm done. It was God who put the lock on wedlock. Amen. So this practice is definitely contrary to God's intended marriage. Matthew 19:6, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. That what therefore God hath joined together, wedlock, let no man put asunder. Two occasions, Romans 7:2 and 1 Corinthians 7:39, Paul indicated that a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Modern educational system has instructed courses and textbooks present young people with perverted views on sex and marriage. You come to our church, you come to my church, and I get if in your Sunday school class, if the teacher's on the ball, you get 30 minutes. You come to the morning service, you get 30, 35 minutes. Sunday night, 4 hours. No. Sunday night, an hour. Wednesday night, 35 minutes. And the world takes your child into their classrooms and pump them full of putrid, filthy, diabolical, devilish ideas that permeate and instill in our children's mind that it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's okay to a boy to love a boy and a girl to love a girl. You have a job to do, parents, at home. And by the way, you can do it by God's help. Yes, Satan is making assault against families. Over 60% of America now is divorced. Even in Cascade County, every 10 marriages, there are 8 divorces. This is not a good county to live in. I think, I won't say it, the world has gone wild. Do you ever wonder why? Could it be the Lord is coming back? Luke 17:26, and as it was in the day of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day of Noe and into the ark. and the flood caused and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, for even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. Listen to this. And knowledge shall be increased. Everybody's got your cell phone, everybody got your iPad, your Kindles, your whatever you want, whatever you got. You talk about knowledge today. I was riding with a guy the other day, and we said something, said, just a minute. And he said the person's name, it came up and told everything about it and where he lived. And wow! Information. Incredible. So, ladies and gentlemen, you got a job to do. Let's start with the boys and girls. You got a job to do, who you run with. Teenage girls and teenage boys, you better be careful. You can fall in love with one of them bad boys just as good as you can fall in love with a good girl. Good one. And by the way, just like my daddy said, son, it costs you just as much to have a good horse as it does a bad horse. You figure that one out. My dad used to say, son, I don't understand people. When I'm building my flock, when I'm building my herd, I make sure that I look at their pedigree. And make sure that they're a good formed animal. He said, why in the world would a guy want to go down to a stockyard and just buy any old cow? And may I say this, and I say it very carefully, why would you want to go out and buy any old heifer when you have a good one that would love you the rest of your life? That's just country coming out of me, sorry. Why in the world would you go get a bum horse when you have a good horse? Yeah, explain that to me. And then, why is it teenagers? You go out and your daddy and mama have taught you and brought you to church. Your preacher yelled and screamed and did everything he could. Your Sunday school taught you how to live. And within 30 minutes, you're 180 degrees from where they were teaching you. And your life has many times ruined your life. And many times you die because of it. I got 2 minutes. Give it to you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless now. Lord God, I pray you'd help us to understand that there is a world out there that wants to destroy us. The head of that world is Satan. He wants to ruin us. He wants to take everything that we have away from us that could be ours. Here's a great big warehouse of God's blessing for us. And we want to go down to the tar paper shanty. I don't understand that. Dear God, please help our people in our church. Help us to choose right and choose biblically. Help us to be careful that we do not go with those who are of the devil and devil's crowd. Help us to read our Bible. Help us to understand these things. Help us as husbands and wives to say, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live for my wife. I'm going to live for my husband. I'm going to live for my family. I'm going to live for my church. I'm going to serve God in every way I can to stay away from this diabolical world that we live in. God, help us tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and see preacher. There's some things in my heart and my life just not going good, not going right. You know, some of you, there's no hope for you. Because you don't want to hope. So you just keep going. Until God just says, that's enough. You're coming home. And He does that. He does that. You're unattached. You used to be attached to God, now you're unattached. All you think about yourself. I wonder if you just say, God, I
I just gotta get things right. I can't keep living like this. Thank God he'll forgive us. Thank God he'll straighten things out for you. He sure loves you. And his mercy endureth forever. That's an incredible thing. Thank God for that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to know that. Why don't you come at this time and take care of that?" Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, there's some things going on in my life that I need to straighten out.